I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate the reading. How many of you have read this and asked yourself, would I have done that? I mean, when was the last time that you're on a career path, you're working and working, and you just up and walk off? Walk away from what you know into an uncertain future. You know, these disciples that Lisa just read about, they had no clue where they were going, what they were doing. To our knowledge, based on the writing, we don't even know if they knew Jesus before he called them, if they had even heard of him. All we know is when Jesus said, "Come," they up, left their nets, and took off. And I think we know that the dad was not too happy when his two boys walked off and just left the family business. Do you know anyone that's done that? Just up, walked off, had no clue if they had another job lined up, where they were going, or where they would end up. This really boggles the mind when you read it, that somebody would just walk off and not know where they were going. I've often wondered how the disciples would have responded to Jesus' call if they had known what was going on down the road, if they had known the future, if they had known the trials and tribulations they would go through. Would they have ever left their nets? I mean, we can look at the reality in our own lives. What if you knew the future before you walked into adulthood, married, started a family or a career? How would your lives have been changed, if at all, if you knew the future? If you knew how it was all going to turn out? I cannot help but think when one walks into an unknown future, there is anxiety, and perhaps paralyzing anxiety. I know when I was in the Navy, I had no clue where they were going to take me, what I was going to end up doing. And there was great anxiety. I did know there was a war going on, which created even more anxiety. After that, I get out, and then I feel the call to missions. And I start in the mission field. After I discussed it with my family, they decided to follow me on my calling. And we went to Brazil. My oldest boy was not all that thrilled about it, I'll tell you up front. At the time, me, my wife, and the two older ones, Seth, had not come along yet. And my oldest boy was a teenager, and he did not want to leave home. He said, "You're not taking me to another country." Well, we took him. And we got to Brazil, and we lived in Brazil. We learned the customs of Brazil. We learned Portuguese. I preached in Portuguese. I taught in Portuguese. They did too. And I can tell you that my two older kids learned it perfectly. Many people thought they were born and raised there. Me, on the other hand, they kind of wondered. Never quite got it down the way I should have. But again, being a democracy, we took a vote, and it was 3-1. We all ended up in Brazil for over 3 years. And we learned so much, but there was anxiety. And I think you can relate to this if you've ever traveled abroad, especially. But you get on a plane, You've never been to that country before, you don't know what to expect. They have a language that you don't know. And we didn't learn the language until we got there. We were supposed to go to a school where they were going to teach us the language, and that got canceled, and they said, you'll just have to learn it on your own. That was not easy. But the anxiety that you feel when you go somewhere new with an uncertain future can be overwhelming. Let's look at anxiety for a moment. And I know you're seeing the counselor come out in me, but I think it's appropriate considering our text we have. What causes anxiety? Here's some reasons for anxiety. Some people have a genetic predisposition to anxiety. It's just who they are. Parenting, if you have an overprotective parent, an overcontrolling parent, an inconsistent parent responding to things, early childhood experiences that fostered shame or insecurity, your current lifestyle, especially stress. If you've ever had a stressful life, counselors deal with people that are stressed and anxious all the time. But also unanticipated threats, escalating demands, confidence killers, terrorizing trauma, and significant change. This can all bring on anxiety. The inability to predict or control the future as much as you would like. Some of us would love to control the future. I know this is what's going to happen from the time I'm 20, 30, 40, 50. I got it all planned. Problem is you get down the road and you find out that there was no plan. As the old saying goes, life happens. Anxiety is a surface feeling that masks deeper feelings. And those are the real issues. So when we get someone into counseling and they have anxiety, we got to get down to the base of it. What's creating that anxiety? It could be embarrassment, fear, grief, helplessness, hurt, loneliness, or sadness. But for therapists, once the real issue is discovered, then we can try to get to the root. But we got to find out the real issue. So let's go back to our four fishermen. Can you imagine the anxiety created in doing something so completely foreign to what you're used to doing? These guys are fishermen, and they're being called to preach and to teach. We can assume from that time period, if you're a fisherman, you have no education. Reading and writing probably was not a part of their life. They could read the water and tell where the fish were. So now they're in a whole different realm. To now be following a man who is wholly devoted to God, to face the crowds, the criticism, the attacks by Rome, had to be unbelievably stressful, filling them with anxiety. Yet they stayed the course right up to the crucifixion, and then their anxiety really did overwhelm them and they ran. It wasn't permanent. But it did scare him. And personally, I understand that. All of us are called to a purpose in life. All of us are. Although not always termed as a calling, we are. We are called into the fields and careers of our lives. That is a calling. A calling is not just for ordained ministry. And many people say, well, if you have a calling, then you get ordained. No. You can be a judge, you can be an attorney, you can be anything, can be a calling. Callings are for every one of us. The idea of a calling being just for ministry, it's from the Middle Ages. You see, back in the Middle Ages, they wanted everyone that wanted to be a minister, a priest, to be ordained, to separate them from everyone else, because in the medieval times, the church was the real power. And they wanted to keep it that way. So if you weren't ordained, you didn't get to be part of the power. Well, thankfully, in most ways, we've progressed from that. That's not the case at all. A time when the church wanted to control empires and people, for the most part, has passed. The Reformation eliminated the distinction between clergy and laypersons by affirming that God calls everyone. God calls you to banking. God calls you to groceries. You work. you do the calling that God has given you. We all have a calling. And the word the Reformers used for this calling is vocation, from the Latin vocatiato, which means calling. Every job that works to build up and maintain society is a calling. Whether it be a teacher, an insurance salesman, a mechanic, politician, shop owner, whatever, it's a calling. To be a nurse is a calling. But the Reformers made it clear it didn't stop with jobs and careers. Not at all. They went on to say, we have callings to family structures. I want you to think about this. Calling to family structures. You're called to be a mother. You're called to be a father, an aunt, an uncle, a child, and so forth. We serve God in these family callings as well. And if we don't see that as a calling, so much the sadder for us. Now, if you're not convinced family is a calling, listen to these stages of a family. And I would like for you to take this in and see what you think. The family takes a lot of work. Anyone here say a family doesn't take work? Good, because you would have been outnumbered. I'm telling you, it takes a lot of work. A healthy family will go through several stages that require perseverance and a good work ethic. Stage one, the family begins at the I do's and a couple is birthed. Now comes the dying to self. Stage two, the couple's life is dramatically changed at the arrival of the first child. Now comes heaps of responsibility and stress. Stage three, the children grow up out of the toddler years and start school. The family is apart more, and life becomes more hectic with school-age children. Anyone disagree with that? Families can drift apart if they're not careful at this point. Stage four, now the children reach adolescence and life changes quickly. Turmoil enters the family unit. Hormones invade the home. Expenses go up for couples in this stage. There are more activities and more separation of the family individuals. There are more choices to make and peer pressures. The family helps here in guidance and direction while allowing the child, now a teen, to become an individual and move to individuation. Now, this is a hard time for families, and it can tear them apart if the family is not healthy. Now, I don't know how many of you have had teens in your house, but it's a tough life. Stage five, the empty nest, is another difficult passage where the couple finds themselves again with their children gone. They're a couple. Children no longer are the focus of their family unit. Now mom and dad look to each other for companionship. Kids are gone. They started their own lives. They're out there. Then there's stage six. Then comes grandchildren, but it's still very different. As they say, with grandchildren, you get tired of them, you can send them home. It's a lot different than having your own. But you can see why this is a calling. Talk about an uncertain future, not only for the parents, but for the children. They have no idea. And when they're born into a family, they don't know what you're going to do with them. They don't know if you're going to be good parents or bad parents. And they're living day to day trying to figure this out. The parents living day to day trying to figure out if they can get it right. We are called to maintain healthy keys of a strong family if we are going to thrive, adjust, flex, and stay together through these life stages. And not all of us make it. Jonah was called to preach the word to Nineveh. And Jonah decided he didn't like his calling. And he ended up getting swallowed by a big fish and spit up on the land to do it anyway. We don't always like our calling, but we're always called to do God's will. Again, going back not just our four fishermen, but all 12 disciples, they were going to follow Jesus and had no clue what was going to happen. We read it, we see it. And all the Gospels, they get up to the point where Jesus says, okay, it's time for me to die. And they go, what? And he's been telling them all along. Can you imagine the anxiety? Well, you're the guy that called me off of my boat. I was a fisherman, and you're going to leave me? I'm supposed to face the Roman Empire by myself? I'm supposed to face the Sanhedrin alone? And Jesus says, don't worry, I'll be with you. Well, they just gave up the only lives they'd ever known and followed Jesus. And it's hard to get more uncertain than that. My family and I at least knew we were going to Brazil. These guys had no clue where they were going. They had no idea how many places they would go. They didn't have any idea what would be confronting them for following Jesus. The reality is God's call is always to an uncertain future. That's why God sends His Son and says, I will always be with you. You go into an uncertain future, but know that you're not going alone. When we enter our callings, we have no idea how it's going to turn out. I don't think any of us sitting here today knew what was going to happen throughout our entire lives, or that we might even be sitting in this very sanctuary. When we choose our careers and jobs, hoping we can use the gifts and talents God has given us, that's a great thing, but there aren't any guarantees. The disciples got no guarantees. Jesus didn't say, I promise you, if you follow me, you're going to have the best life ever. No one's ever going to be angry with you. No one's ever going to hurt you. There were no guarantees. Follow me. Abraham received no guarantee there would be no trouble on his faith journey, just that he would father a nation. And Abraham saw lots of trouble. Read about Abraham, one battle after another. Moses received no guarantee he'd dwell in the land of milk and honey, and he didn't. Led him all the way there, all those years in the desert, but he did not get to go into the land of milk and honey. David received no guarantee his family would stand by him as king. Absalom did not, and rebelled against his father. There were no guarantees. But God said, answer my calling. Do my bidding. Paul received no guarantee he would keep his head when he converted, and he didn't keep his head. It got cut off, but he followed his calling. Yet each and every one of us, each and every one of these faithful followers we're talking about, accomplished great things in God's name. You have. You may not be aware of it, but you've accomplished great things by following God's calling. Each and every one of them walked into an uncertain future on the strength of God's word, and each and every one of us does the same. Each and every one of them rose to their calling. Each and every one of us should do the same. Are there guarantees? Here's your guarantee. God loves you, and He sent His only Son into the world to die for each and every one of us. Pretty good guarantee. Are you such a faithful follower that if someone came and said, follow me, you would just up and leave everything? You see, that's what Mark's putting out here for us. What kind of follower do you want to be? If God calls, if His Son calls you, are you going to drop your nets and follow? Or are you going to say, could you give me some guarantees before I do this? We have a faithful God. We have a God that loves us. And if He calls, in whatever manner that may be, in whatever calling He has called you to, then I think it is time to be faithful to that calling. And remember, for all of you who have been parents, you had a calling. For all of you that have had careers and retired from those careers or are still working in them, that was a calling. God called you, and every day God's blessings are on you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we walk into an uncertain future every day. Every morning when we wake up, we have no idea what is going to happen. We hear loud noises. We run out on our porch to see what it is. We hear storms ripping trees apart. We don't know what's going to happen. We hear of war. We don't know the future. We ask that you fill us with your spirit of love, that you fill us with your spirit of courage, that you fill us with the spirit that says, yes, Lord, I will follow you, even when it's uncertain what the future will be. For we ask all this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.